Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
I want you to go with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 1. And I want to talk to you tonight about getting into the habit of success. Now wait a minute, Pastor. I thought this was a church. Is this a... Yeah, no, it's all that. If it can help you, it's in the Bible. And can I tell you that quitting is a habit? Quitting is a habit. But let me also tell you that so is success. You get a couple of victories under your belt, and the next thing you know, you're going to be looking for your next victory. And the next thing you know is you could get into a habit of overcoming instead of coming under. Make sense to you? Now, the book of Psalms, chapter 1, when you get there, say amen. Very short chapter, 6 verses. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be, if he does this, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Father, bless the reading of your word. God, grant me in the next few moments of time that which I need to successfully convey what you've placed in my spirit. And I give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If you talk to anybody in business, especially in the 80s and 90s, then they were many times required to read a certain book written by Stephen Covey, which was written in 1989, and it's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. But instead of the church adapting 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, I think that sometimes we have accepted the fact of 7 Habits of Highly Defective People. And we've got to change that mindset. Can you say amen? So it became a bestseller because it presented a practical, easy way to follow framework of developing habits of success. Now, I read the book back in the early 90s. I read it. But I want you to know this, that your habits will take you further than your desire. That you might desire one thing, but if you've got a habit of doing something else, like Krispy Kreme, you can want to lose weight all you want to. I desire to be 20 pounds thinner. But my habits dictate otherwise. The habit of eating. And I refuse to eat grass. Amen. Let me tell you, I know that we've got a couple of vegetarians and vegans and things like that. Let me tell you, vegetarian is, if you didn't know this, is an American Indian name that stands for not a good hunter. So this is an important lesson in the quest for success. And that is this: successful people aren't necessarily smarter than you. They're not smarter than you. They're not more gifted than you. They're certainly not luckier than you. But they do tend to have certain characteristics about them. And they tend to have certain habits that fan the flame, if you will, of their success. Now, Covey says this, that they tend to be self-starters. They tend to be goal-oriented. They tend to have a strong sense of priorities. They tend to make business deals with others that are mutually beneficial and so on and so on. Successful people have certain habits. If you see somebody successful, more than likely they didn't get there by happenstance. Now, they got there by some habits. Now you may go, well, Pastor, what do you call successful? Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Because there's nothing wrong with wanting success. But most of our problems are caused by pursuing success in the wrong way. And you get something less than what you started out pursuing. You want, you know, some people, you got to know what success is. Success is not stuff. Success is doing the will of God. And if you can do the will of God and know the will of God, then you are a success. I've told this story many times before, but I did the middle school asked me to come in and to do a motivational speech to their 7th and 8th graders, and I did. And when I walked in and I began the talk, I said this, that I don't know if you recognize me or not, but I'm one of the richest men in Citrus County. One of the 7th graders said, I thought I recognized you. Because I am one of the richest men. Why? Because I have a wife that loves me. I have children that love me. I love them. And I have a father that loves me. And I love him. And I know who I am and I know who I'm not. So you need to know what success is, okay? So let's go a little bit further with this. We make the mistake of thinking that success is money. Success is power, possessions, or prestige. But none of these things bring lasting contentment. You've got to have something besides stuff in order for you to be successful. The result is that many people spend their lives climbing the ladder or the economic ladder in the pursuit of stuff, but the things that really matter have been left behind. What does it profit a man, the Bible says, to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now, this is a RGR version of that same scripture. That's me. And I say, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own family? Matter of fact, I tell young ministers this. What does it profit a man to minister to everybody else's family but don't minister to your own? What gives me the right to minister to your family is first I must minister to mine. We're talking about success here. No matter what you earn or what you own or who you are, if you're miserable, you're a failure. I know what some of you are thinking. I can hear it. Well, I've tried being miserable broke. I'd like to try miserable being rich. But success is quickly defined, and I think I've already said it, is knowing God's will and then doing it. That's real success. God's doing God's will for your life and then living it. You know, my brother told me, said, Ronnie, I wouldn't do your job for $1 million. I said, me neither. You have to be called to it. You have to be called to it. Now, you know, and I love those people that says, find something that you love, and if you can make a living at it, you'll never work another day in your life. They're a liar. Because I love doing what I do, but from time to time, I still get sick of stuff. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you now. No, I'm just kidding. But Psalms 1 says this. David talks about a successful person. He says the successful person or woman has developed certain habits in their lives, and these habits affect all that they do. Pastor, that's not what it says. Well, that's the way I'm reading it. Because it says that a successful person doesn't follow the crowd. Point number one. Don't follow the crowd. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that it's right. I've told this story many times, but it fits too good. Thanksgiving time and Christmas time. There was a woman that cut off this portion of the ham every year. And her daughter asked, Mom, why do we do that? She said, I don't know. My mom always did it. That's the way she taught me to cook. So I do it. Well, let's go ask mom. She went and asked her mom. She said, well, I don't know. My mom always taught me to do it. Well, grandma's out on the porch. Let's go ask her. And they went and asked grandma. Grandma said, that's easy because I didn't have a pan big enough to put the ham in. And there are times we do things not knowing why we do it. We just do it. And so we follow the crowd. And we follow the crowd not knowing why we do what we do. Why do we worship? Why do we do? We could go into a whole series of why we do the things we do in church and why we do the things we do in our worship unto God. But we got to start asking ourselves the question, I'm not just going to follow the crowd just because everybody's doing it. Because you know the crowd that I'm talking about. Misery loves company, right? It's also true that sin loves company. It's a basic truth that sin leads to misery. And miserable people tend to want everybody else to be miserable with them. You ever get, and there are some people who have a misery syndrome. You can't get around them without them bringing you down. You know what I'm talking about? There are some people I just got to get kind of geared up before I go in to see. I got to just, boost myself up. Why? Because I know they're just going to just drain the suck the life right out of me. So I got to get up. And then I got to go by to a comedy club or something just to get my energy back after I leave them or something, man. Just to laugh a little bit. You know, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't point at nobody if they're here. But the successful person has learned to reject the crowd because he realizes that the crowd is not always the one's best source of guidance. Well then, Pastor, who is? The Word of God. God knows your situation better than anybody. I've got this one guy. Matter of fact, and go ahead and judge me because I really don't care. But I've had to block this certain guy on Facebook because he asked me literally 10 questions a day. You know, he don't even come to church here. He asked me biblical questions. So my last text was him was this. Listen, bro. You are killing me. I don't have time to stop and answer all your questions. Why don't you go to a church and get discipled and have some of your questions answered, but don't write me no more. Now I know some of y'all are going to judge me, and that's okay. Just give me your address and I'll give him yours. Amen. Because it's stupid stuff. You know? I've just had to understand that if my habit is to answer everything on Facebook, or you'll never get anything done. If my habit is to read every email, I browse them, man. And listen, you better put something in. If you get send me an email, you need to put something in the subject line that this ain't just randomly put, because I don't know any of them. Because I don't have that time in the day. Now, listen to me. When it comes to the matter of right and wrong, the majority doesn't always rule. You got to know what's right and wrong. So if you want to truly succeed in life, you're going to have to decide that whether, when necessary, will you stand your ground and let the crowd pass you by? Will you stand for what is right, even when it goes against everybody else's grain? I'm not talking about being against stuff just, like the old boy back years ago, they were having a church meeting and they wanted to buy some chandeliers. And this old guy stood up, he said, Pastor, I'm against it. And I'm against it for three reasons. One, can't nobody in this church spell no chandelier. Two, can't nobody play no chandelier. And number three, we need some lights in this place. Verse 1 describes a successful man's attitude toward following the crowd. What did it say? It said, blessed is the man, right? Blessed is the man. So who sits not in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is that man. We've got to understand, church, that just because that everybody's doing it, man, my daddy used to make me so mad. I would say, Dad, can I go do this? He said, no, we don't do that. I said, Dad, everybody's doing it. He said, I'm not doing it until I do it. Ain't everybody. Amen. So we've got to start taking a stance on what is right and what is wrong. But if you're going to be successful, then you cannot walk in the counsel of everybody. Now hear me closely. The Word of God says that wisdom is found in the counsel of many. All right? But confusion is found in the counsel of too many. Too many times we keep going from person to person until we find somebody who will agree with us what we want to do. Don't follow the crowd. The Bible said, happy is the man who does not follow the advice of the wicked. It was said that Walt Disney came up with a brainstorm and he would pitch the idea to 10 different people. And if they were all against it, he would immediately go to work on the project. He had learned that the crowd is not always right. Now, what crowd are you talking about, Pastor? This crowd. The crowd that says to us, if you're unhappy in marriage, get divorced. If you have an unwanted pregnancy, get rid of it. Have an abortion. You're facing temptation, the crowd says, oh, do it as long as you don't get caught. Or the temptation, you're facing a temptation, well, as long as you don't hurt anybody else, it's okay. God knows your heart. Yes, he does. Overall, though, the crowd's advice is your happiness comes first. You must look out for you. Let the other guy worry about himself. But that's not the Word of God. That's not the Word of God. I can promise you that I know that there are others in here, that we've all had to stand on some things that would have been easier for us just to let it go. Those of you who have raised children, you know that you can't just let children raise themselves. You know, if you were one of them families that when you went to somebody's house, everybody went, oh God, here comes them little crazy children. It was a lot easier just to let them ransack somebody's house. We didn't go through and baby-proof everything. I mean, we did a little baby-proofing, but we didn't go through and put everything up. And matter of fact, when my kids, we went to somebody else's house, we would go, mm-mm. Was it easy? No, it's called work. It's called developing good habits. But listen to me, church. If you'll develop good habits now, then they will take you into success. And if you develop good habits on raising your children, then it'll also help you go a little bit further too. That you won't have to discipline as much as when they get older. When given the choice, most of us will take the path of least resistance, won't we? You know, some people, because of my personality, they think, they go, Pastor, I bet you just love conflict. I hate conflict. I hate it. Well, Pastor, you'll hit it head on. Yeah, that's right, I will, but I hate it. I would much rather be agreeable. I would much rather, you know, I don't love to fight. I don't love to argue. I don't love to have to take a stand. I don't have to love to talk, to have those conversations with people. They're not pleasing. If you love telling people off, then you need to get saved. Our tendency by nature is to take the easy way. But the successful person, however, takes the right path, not the easy path. Oh, I'm going to say it again. We got to take the right path, not the easy path. You know, I'll never forget one of the first times as a pastor when that was tested. Just a little church. We went to a little church running 18. We had raised it up to about 50 people. And these two church members had a falling out. One was a tithe payer. Matter of fact, one was the biggest tithe payer in the church. The other one didn't even pay tithe. So, of course, the big tithe payer came to me, said, I'm telling you right now, you know, blah, 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 blah. And if they stay, I'm leaving. Well, I had to make a decision. You know, whose side am I going to take? Because they were forcing me to take a side. And the lady, even though she wasn't a tithe payer, and you know, and she should have been a tithe payer, she did nothing wrong. So I had to stand on that. I had to stand on that. And boy, he got mad. He said, you better tell her to leave this church. I said, I'm not doing it. I said, she's done nothing wrong. Well, I'll tell you, I'm not coming to church here with her. I was like, well, I'm sorry, because I can't ask her to leave. She hadn't done anything wrong. And so sure enough, he left. Matter of fact, when he left, he looked at me and said, you'll never survive without my tithe. I was like, dog, you should have never said that. Of course we did. Matter of fact, we prospered. Why? Well, it was because I was so keen in my, I believe it was because I stood on the right. Because I took the right path, not the easy path. Because there was a couple of weeks there it was a little rough in that little old church. So I'm telling you that it's not always easy to take the right path, but we've got to. If you want to truly be successful, then take the right path, not just the easy path. What did Robert Frost say? He said, two roads diverged in a woods, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Then the Bible says, don't take the path of the sinners where the sinners tread, so don't go don't do what the crowd does. But then it says, or sit in the seat of the scoffer. Don't go where the crowd goes. There's a Colorado senator, Maliki, I read the story, was speaking on a televised congressional hearing on taxes of nightclubs. And one of the clubs that was mentioned was called Club 21. And this senator kept getting the name wrong. He would call it 22 Club, Club 24, 23 Club. And afterwards, one of his aides said, Senator, You made an idiot of yourself on national television. You know the name of that nightclub. You and I have been there many times. And here's what he said, though. He said, in politics, you can't afford to be too knowledgeable about those kind of things. Now, what are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, now he lied about it, but I'm just saying you can't go everywhere where the crowd goes. Now, where is that? I don't know where that is for you. But if you never get convicted outside of this church, then you're not serving God the way He wants you to. Why? Because there are places you and I ought not be. Where? I don't know where that is for you. You know, all I can tell you is this. That I remember a time when I first got saved. I've told it 100 times. When I first got saved, God convicted me of going to the gym. Why? Because of my motives were wrong when I went to the gym. I went to the gym to look good for girls. I went to the gym so girls would look at me. So I quit going to the gym. And then I grew up in the Lord a little bit. The Lord said, you can go back to the gym. I was like, I don't want to. Man, right? But there are some of you sitting, you know, I've heard some of you tell me, Pastor, I can't go to Crackers on a Saturday at 9 o'clock because that's where I used to go get my drink on. Do I judge you for that? No. You just need to know where you're vulnerable. Successful people know where their hot buttons are. They know what causes them to veer off the path. Well, Pastor, could you write us a list? No. Because if God can't give it to you, I sure can't. Good preaching, Pastor. Point number two, I think. Get a one-track mind. Verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he doth meditate day and night. Winston Churchill said, a fanatic is someone who can't change his mind and won't change the subject. Well, that ought to be us. Have you ever been accused of a fanatic? Not a lunatic, a fanatic. I have. You know, now, listen, I'm not telling us to be lunatics, because sometimes you can turn more people off to Christ because of you. Amen. Thank you, John. Y'all act like y'all ain't never turned nobody off to Christ. I hope you turn somebody on to Christ. Come on now. But that ought to be us, a fanatic. I had one of my brothers ask me one time, my wife and I, we were talking, we were with another pastor brother of mine, and we were talking, and he goes, do you guys talk anything else other than church and God? We looked at each other, kind of laughed, said, no. That's our life. That's what we do. Amen? So, you know, that needs to be us. So a successful person is one track. Is that we get singleness of mind instead of being so scattered. We get singleness of mind that, Lord, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Lord, it's your word that I put into my spirit that is going to cause me to walk upright before you. See, in that sense, all of us should be fanatics, absolutely committed to learning, knowing, and applying the scriptures to our own lives. Successful people have a one-track mind. They know the difference between right and wrong. They are committed to doing what is right. Listen to this principle. Success by deceit is not success at all. Success by deceit. Well, nobody saw me do it. Somebody did. Somebody saw you do it. Somebody saw you do it. His name is Jesus. There are those who may realize short-term economic benefit through deception and dishonesty. But only those who are single-mindedly committed to living according to the principles of God can expect to enjoy the peace and contentment that comes from biblical success. And that's really what I want. I want biblical success. You know, Pastor, is it wrong for me to want to do well? No, it should. Matter of fact, if you know Jesus, every time Jesus comes in, he lifts. He ought to lift you up. Knowing Jesus lifts me up from the person I used to be. Knowing Jesus lifts me up from the husband that I was, or lifts me up as the father that I am. It lifts. So yet, there's nothing wrong with desiring those things, but you can't do it by deceit. True story. There was a cigar smoker who bought some expensive cigars and then insured them. Then turned around and smoked them. And then turned in an insurance claim on them. True story. This is how crazy America is. The insurance company fought it, but then had to pay it. But then The cigar smoker was arrested as soon as they paid him because of arson. You're not going to make it by trying to circumvent right principles. You can't defy God's law and truly be successful. I'm going to say that again. You can't truly defy God's law and truly be successful. Here's what Joshua said. This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth. You shall meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous and you shall be successful. Meditating on God's laws, allowing us to dominate our thoughts, gives us, church, strength to live according to God's principles. You know, if you practice certain principles long enough, it becomes second nature to you. You know, I don't have to get up in the morning and decide, well, I wonder if I'm going to lie today. I don't wake up and go, well, you know, let me see if I'm going to do what's right today. No, I wake up in an automatic trying to do right. Because I've tried to contemplate that principle in my life. You know, you have a meeting with somebody. Let me see if I can get them to do something completely ridiculous. No, you don't do that. You try to help people. What is your idea of success? Emerson says that a man becomes what he thinks about all day long. And this is why Paul said, finally, my brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is any thing worthy of praise, think about these things, Philippians 4. The successful person doesn't follow the crowd, but he has a one-track mind and should. Now let me give you this one. Point number three. Develop weather-resistant faith. Now this is key right here. Weather-resistant faith. You know, God help me, Jesus. I've been doing this a long time now. Verse 3 says this, that he is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. See, there are some times that the people will tell you, there are some churches that will tell you that, you know, every day is your season. It's not either. That's why it's called a season. There's a season to cry. There's a season to dance. There's a season to sow. There's a season to reap. There's a season to laugh. Are you hearing me? We all have. So you need to know what season you're in. And having weather-resistant faith means it doesn't matter what season I'm in, that I know that God is faithful, that the season will come again. This season will not last forever in my life. There is a changing season in my life. Now, I get up and pray sometimes when I'm tired of the season I'm in. God, could this be the end of this season? Lord, I'm ready for a new season. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm ready for a new season in my life, God. I'm tired of that old one. But then there are sometimes I say, God, what haven't I learned? Because a season doesn't change just because it's on the chronological calendar. Fall started back in September. Anybody felt fall weather? I did like yesterday morning for 2 hours. Right? Winter starts, what, in about 10 days? Or about 13, 14 days on the 23rd? Winter starts. But here's what we know, especially us here in Florida, that it doesn't matter what it's supposed to start. It's not going to, the next season is not going to start until the last season has completed what that season came to accomplish. My God, that's good preaching. So you can click your heels together 3 times and ask for home or wish for home, but it ain't going to change until this season that you're in has completed the season that God brought it into your life for. Hallelujah. So with that, you've got to have weather-resistant faith. God, the Bible doesn't promise a soft and easy life. If you got saved back in the 80s and some of the 90s, there was a doctrine that went around that if you come to Jesus, everything's going to be a tiptoe to the tulips. And people came to know Jesus in droves. You got this problem? Come to Jesus. He'll straighten it out. And we believe that he will. But the problem is people come to Jesus to get a problem situated. The problem gets situated, and the next thing you know, they're right back out. It goes back to 88% or something like that of all lottery winners within 18 months will be back in the same financial condition that they were before they won the lottery. Why? Because they did not learn the principles of how to get there and how to manage what they got. And until you learn that God is not just your sugar daddy, that God is not Santa Claus, that God is not just going to come in and say poof and happy birthday and give you everything that you asked for, but you got to learn some principles about walking in this weather resistant, and yea, it'd be like Job, yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, and be like some of those guys, and like some of the folks who are in this place today, saying, I know that God is too good to be angry with me forever, that God is too good, that he will not let this season last for my whole life. This is not my lot in life. God is going to change my season. If you will get that into your spirit, then you can walk through some hard times and some tough times, because you know it will not last forever. Well, praise the Lord. The Bible promises. Boy, I just don't want to tell you this. But you already know it. The Bible promises you that you will have some wind in your face, some rain in your house. There will be some days of drought at your house. There will be some days of endure scorching heat in your family. There will be some long, lonely winters that are cold and that they are bitter, but they will not last a lifetime. It's a fact. It's a fact of life that we will go through trials and tribulations, and we must endure seasons of pain as well as seasons of joy. But the successful person is the one who can weather any storm that life brings to them. Have you ever seen people who ain't ever went through nothing? And just the least little thing come and just blows their house down. You know, you don't do it. You shouldn't do it. But you ever met people, they tell you their problems, you're thinking, I wish I had your problem. Psh, that ain't nothing. Amen. Now, I've been one of those when I came to somebody, when I first came to the Lord, long story short, I'll never forget, I needed $144.81. That's what I needed. Pretty specific. It was my car payment. And I needed it, man. I believe in God. I was fasting. You know, I wasn't like the rest of them. Well, I ain't got the car payment. Let me go to the movies. Hear me? Right? Well, I ain't got enough to go make a car payment. Let me go to Taco Bell. You just spent $7. That's $7 out of the $144 that you needed. So I might as well fast because I couldn't afford to buy anything anyway. I'd go to anybody's house that invited me to come over and eat. Ronnie, we making tacos. Yeah, I'll be there. Ronnie, we having salad. I don't even like salad. I'll be there. I'm sure there's some cheese or croutons or something I can gnaw on. I mean, I just do whatever. And then so I was with one of my spiritual mentors. I had gotten saved under their ministry. And I was with him and we were talking and he said, what's on your mind, Ronnie? I said, man, I tell you, I'm believing God, man. I'm just believing God for $144.18 or 81 cents. He said, is that all? He said, Lord, son, I need $100,000. I said, well, $114.81 is $100,000 to me. Right? So we've all been there. We've all been there. That, you know, you look at other people's problem and almost laugh at it. You know? Oh, pastor, pray for me. I hit my toe. You know? But at the time, it's where you're at. So where you're at is, this is real deep. Where you're at is where you're at. Isn't that the truth though? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you're at when you're there. But here's the thing. When you've been through a thing or two, when you've been through a thing or two and you've had to trust God and you've seen God come through before, you can stand in faith going, I may not know when, I may not know how, but I know that my God who delivered me yesterday, who delivered me 3 weeks ago, is the same God today as he was then. And if he delivered me then, he can deliver me now. So I'll just stand and see the salvation of the Lord and I'll praise him while I've got breath in my body. I'll praise him anyway. Well, glory. The successful person knows that he can weather the storm that life brings. In the early 1970s, I read a story many years ago. Some of y'all would get lost in my computer because if I read a story, I'll just log it over here and bring it back for later on, stuff that I can use. But I read a story several years ago that back in the 70s, a fireman of Fairfax County, Virginia, received new helmets. And they were really sharp. Man, they were colorful. They were high impact plastic, size adjustable, scuff resistance. But there was one problem with the helmet. When they got near heat, they melted. Somebody didn't think that through. And that's the problem with some believers' faith. That I have faith until it's tested. And then you realize you didn't have faith. You had something else that was based on somebody else's experience or based on something else. But experiences may come and go. But God said, my word is forever settled in heaven. So if you can get his word and his principles and his precepts inside of you, you can stand when the heat is there and you ain't got to melt. Hear me, church. I believe, oh, good gracious. I've had the privilege of visiting Krakow, Poland. And if you've seen Schindler's List, it is, the setting is there in Krakow. And I saw Schindler's workshop and I saw different things that, where they filmed this thing and where they, where it was supposed to truly happen. And then I had the opportunity to go to Auschwitz where they had the death camps and different things. But in the basement of this abandoned house, and they have this there in Krakow, Poland, they have this, and it's at this abandoned house, they have it where this Jew died. You know, when they swept through Germany and they were searching houses for snipers and things like that. Well, when they looked at this, here's what a Holocaust victim had scratched. He scratched the Star of David and then beneath it had written these words. I believe in the sun, even when it does not shine. I believe in love, even when it is not shown. And I believe in God, even when he does not speak. My Lord, somebody hear me. If you can get that into your spirit. Honey, you know, they were hiding in the basement. They hadn't seen the sun in months. But they said, I haven't seen the sun, but I still believe in the sun. I believe. And I haven't seen the love of humanity. All I've seen is hurt and heartache. But I still believe in love when it is not shown. And I haven't heard the voice of God. But I still believe that God speaks even though I haven't heard his voice. And if we can get that into our spirit, honey, you can be successful. If you can get that in your spirit, you can come through anything that the devil throws in your path. But there are too many Christians who believe that if I just have enough faith, then I won't go through problems. That I'm going through my problem because I have a lack of faith. No, your faith is being tested. You don't know if you have faith until you've been tested. You know, I like what the old guy said. There's a word that the old Pentecostals used to use. We don't use it a whole lot anymore, called sanctified. Sanctified means that you had gotten some things under control. And this one old boy asked another boy, he said, are you sanctified? He said, well, I believe I am. So for no reason, the one guy popped him upside his head. Man, that guy got up and whooped the fire out of that fella. Left him on the ground. And he said, I thought you were sanctified. He said, I thought I was too. Right? I mean, it's one thing to think you are, but it's another thing for you to have to put it to the test. Do you have faith? Yes, I have faith because I've never had to go through anything. Can you stand when everything else is against you? Well, sure I can. Has anything ever been against you? No. Then how do you know you can? But honey, you get somebody. You get somebody been serving God for a few years, has been through the scrapes and been through the fire. You know, if I'm going into battle, I don't want to go into battle with somebody who has never fired their weapon. I want to go with somebody who's been there, who is more seasoned than me. Amen? So let me tell you something. Don't you count out some of our seniors. No, matter of fact, you need to get a hold of them and lock arms with them. Lock arms with some of these seniors who've been through some stuff. And they're still here to tell about it. And they still love Jesus and still got a sweet spirit about them. Honey, don't discount them. Get close to them and see how they did it. Make them your best friend. Why do you think me and Roger are so close? I I know you're going to get me for that. There's another passage in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8. It's similar to the first Psalms. Listen to these words written about the one who trusts is in the Lord. He said, he shall be. Jeremiah 17, 8. He shall be like a tree planted by the water, sending out its roots by the stream. It shall not fear when heat comes. And its leaves shall stay green in the year of drought. It is not anxious, and it does not cease to bear fruit. Put your faith in God. He will help you endure the storm or any drought that life brings your way. Notice how David closes the Psalms. And I'm closing. He closes the Psalms in verse 6. The Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The Bible offers a perspective on success different than we may be used to. Success is knowing God's will and doing it. That's success. When I stand before God, of course, yes, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But when I stand before God, I want to be able to say, God, I did what you called me to do. Because when I stand before God, it ain't going to matter what's in my bank account. It's not even going to matter if I left my kids an inheritance. What's going to matter is, did I do the will of God? You know, it's like the dad who had three sons and he died. He told the boys, he said, "Now, boys, I've tried to do my best to be a good dad to you." He said, "But when I die, I want you to come by my casket. I want you to put $100 in the casket just as an honor to me." So the first son went by. "Daddy, you was a good man. I love you, Daddy." Took a $100 bill out, put it in the casket. Second guy come by, he hugged his daddy goodbye. "Daddy, I love you. You've been a great dad, a great father, a great man of God." Took $100 and put it in the casket. Next guy came by, the last son, he come by. He said, "Dad, you've been so good. You're a great man of God." He wrote a check for $300, put it in there, took the other $200 and put it in his pocket. I have no idea what spiritual value that has, but I just felt like I had to tell that. Knew how to get success. You cannot be successful if you follow the crowd. You cannot be successful. You cannot be successful without a weather-resistant faith. Who would you consider success? You know, we look at guys who have fame, fortune, money. And we call them a success. I don't know. Because according to Hollywood, everybody out there is crazy. Right? And they got more money than they got sense. So that can't be success, right? Success is doing the will of God. Knowing God's will and doing it. And then this, I know somebody, and let me just help you. Do not come up here and ask me this today. Because somebody's going, "Well, Pastor, I don't know God's will." Neither do I. I don't know God's will for you. You got to figure that out. And I'll tell you, let me tell you this. God didn't tell me 20 years ago that I'd be here at Crystal River. But every day that I wake up, He gives me insight. And as I walk my daily walk with God, He begins to fulfill the will of God in my life. Amen. So God didn't give me a 20-year plan of where I would be. But He will lead you and guide you if you wake up every day going, "God, I want to do your will today. I want to do your will today." Don't follow the crowd. The successful person doesn't follow the crowd. They don't give up easily. They have a faith that is solid. And I pray that by His grace, that we can enjoy that type of success. Come on, stand to your feet tonight. Father, today we come before you. And God, all of us want to be successful. We should want that. But we want it in the right perspective and in the right way. So God, tonight I ask you that as we lift up our hearts and minds to you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.